Hi guys, welcome back to Pillow Talk.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Pillow Talks. In fact, this is the last episode of the season, and to end it off, you guys have been blessed with only one member today, which is me, and I'm going to speak about your rights when you are arrested. So, the thing that inspired me to pick this topic is, if you guys recall, our very, very first episode that we recorded was Black Girls, Black Culture. If you haven't listened to it, please do so. It's a really good episode, in my opinion. And one of the things that we kept saying throughout the episode is that it is very important for us to educate ourselves in terms of the law, especially when we get arrested. Now, one of the things that I wanted to touch on is your rights when you're in custody. So a police officer has to explain to you what your rights are. So when you get taken to, was it the police station? One of the things that you have the right to is to get free legal advice, tell someone where you are, have medical help if you're feeling ill, see the rules the police officers have to follow, so their code of practice, see a written notice telling you about your rights, for example, regular breaks for food and to how to use the toilet, when to use the toilet. You can ask for the notice to be in whatever language you're speaking. Or that's an interesting word, interpreter, to explain the notice. And what they also do when you get taken into the police station is they search you and they take your possessions, which are kept by the police until you are released from custody. So, for young people under the age of 18 and vulnerable adults, the police has to contact either your parent, a guardian, or your carer, whether you are under 18 or vulnerable. They also have to find an appropriate adult to come to the station to help you and be present during questioning search. So if you are underage, you cannot be questioned or searched without there being someone that you know who is over the age of 18. And an appropriate adult is typically classed as your parent, your guardian or carer, a social worker, another family member or friend who is over the age of 18, or a volunteer aged 18 or over. Right, so your rights when being questioned. The police may question you about the crime you're suspected of doing, and it tends to be recorded. So during the questioning, they are going to obviously ask you questions, which you don't have to answer, but there could be consequences if you don't. And they have to explain this to you by reading the police caution, which is, you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you do not mention, when questioned, something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. So, in other words, if you don't want to, you don't have to answer the questions. However, they could use it against you later on during your defense. Personally, I think that is absurd, because if you are a young child under the age of 18 and you're caught up in a moment, you might be frightened, especially if it's the first time you've been in that situation. So what could you possibly say? Better yet, you might be compelled to say something, anything, just because you have people telling you if you don't say anything, it could be used against you. So you just might end up saying anything, really, whatever can be said in that situation to just defend yourself, or just for the sake of talking, just for the sake of saying anything, simply because you're being asked all these questions, and that later on is used against you, and it it might have not even been what you intended to say. You were just so caught up in the moment, frightened and scared, that you blurted out the first words that came to mind. But yeah, moving on to how long you can be held in custody, which is up to 24 hours before they have to charge you with a crime or release you. They can apply to hold you for up to 36 or 96 hours if you're suspected of a serious crime, for example, murder. You can be held without charge for up to 14 days if you're arrested under the Terrorism Act. That's interesting. When can you be released on bail? Okay, so you can be released on bail if there's not enough evidence to charge you. You don't have to pay to be released on police bail, but you have to return to the station for further questioning when asked. So they'll probably end up calling you or sending a letter, an email, whatever, at some point in the following weeks to, you know, come back when we've got some questions for you. You can be released on conditional bail if the police charge you and think that you may committed another offence, fail to turn up to court, intimidate other witnesses, obstruct the course of justice. So this means that your freedom will be restricted in some way or another. So they would end up giving you a curfew or something of the sort. Now, whilst you are at the police station, the police have the right to take photographs of you, and they can take fingerprints or a DNA sample, so a mouth swab, or pulling a strand of your hair from a strand of your hair that contains a head hair root, or swab the skin surface of your hands and arms, and they don't need your permission for it, so they can just, you know, come and take whatever it is that they need. But they need, the one thing that they need your permission for and the authority of a senior police officer is to take blood samples or urine samples and dental impressions. This doesn't apply when they take a blood or urine sample in connection with a drink or drunk driving. So please do not drink and drive, not just because they might take blood or urine samples, but because you are endangering yourself as well as others. So let's be responsible adults. Also, you can find if your information is stored on the police database by getting a copy of your police records from your local police station. By the way, just to inform everyone, this your rights when you are being arrested, this applies to UK only, specifically England. I'm not sure about Wales and Northern Ireland. I can't speak for it. But yeah, just to let everyone know. But yeah, one thing that you also have the right to is free legal advice if you're being questioned, and you can change your mind later on if you choose to turn it down. Now, you have to be told about your right to free legal advice after you're arrested and before you're questioned at a police station. So let's keep that in mind. After you're arrested and before you're questioned, you can ask for the police station's duty solicitor. They're available 24 hours a day and independent of the police. Tell the police you would like legal advice, and they will contact the Defence Solicitor Call Centre, it's long for DSCC, Defence Solicitor Call Centre. And you can ask the police to contact a solicitor of your own. Let's say, for example, if you already have your personal solicitor, you can contact them. Now, you may be offered legal advice over the phone instead of a duty solicitor if you're suspected of having committed a less serious offence, like, I don't know, being disorderly, so they say. And the advice is free and independent of the police, so you won't be charged from it, and it's completely separate from what they got going on at the police station. Now, once you ask for legal advice, the police cannot question you until you have it, with some exceptions, whatever the case is. However, if it's a minor that can offend or just something very minor. They cannot question you without your legal advice being there. The police have to make you wait for legal advice in serious cases, but only if a senior officer agrees. And the longest you can be made to wait before getting legal advice is 36 hours after arriving at a police station, or 48 hours for suspected terrorism. So we've just spoken about your rights when you are arrested and held in custody at the police station. Now we're going to talk about when speaking to the police. This is actually quite confusing because you have the right to not answer any of the questions that they ask you. And they say it is a good idea to exercise your right because it can, of course, be used against you later on. But of course, there are times when the law says you have to give your name and address to the police officer. However, they have to explain to you why they are asking for your name and address. And if they choose not to say, or if they go straight into asking for your name and address without giving you a reason, you as a citizen have the right to ask, why am I being asked this? Why do you need my name and address? And they have to give you a reason. If they don't, then the right thing to do is just to simply not answer, because they do not have the right to demand your name and address without a reason. So that's that. And they can only ask for your name and address if they believe you have committed an offense or are about to commit an offense. I don't know how you could possibly prove that, but yeah. So other times they can ask for your name and address are when you're driving a vehicle or a boat and the police officer signals you to stop. Then you obviously have to stop and show them your license or permit. If you are on public transport, whether it be a train, bus, tram, whatever transport you take, and a ticket inspector asks for, for, let's say, proof that you can be traveling on the train, the bus, whatever the case is, they have the right to ask for your name and address. If you are in a hotel or a licensed premises, staff members can ask for your age. Let's say, for example, bars or nightclubs. You also have to show them your ID, obviously. And if they believe that you have information that could help a case, they must tell you what offense they think you can help them investigate. So when they believe you have said information about an ongoing investigation, they can ask for name and address and all the sorts, but they also have to tell you what the investigation is about or what they believe you can help them with. Now, another thing to look out for is that sometimes when police officers are questioning you, it can start off as you, they can start off by asking you questions as though you were a witness, and in at some point it can shift to you being a suspect. So they have to make it clear from the beginning whether they think you are a suspect in a criminal offense or if you are just a witness or a bystander. And they will tell you, of course, your rights before they question you. As I've said before, they have to tell you your rights, and they have to tell you that you have the right for free legal advice before the questioning. Now, here's the thing where I'm slightly starting to get confused, because most of the things that I've researched and read, it says you don't have to answer any questions because you have the right to be silent, but it can also be used against you. It still baffles me to this point. I don't know. I guess because it can make you look guilty, because if you're innocent and you haven't done anything, why wouldn't you just answer the question? I'm assuming that's the logic that they go by. I mean, it's the only one that makes sense to me anyway. But if a police officer tells you that you are breaking the law by refusing to answer questions or give certain information, then the best thing to do is to either speak to a is to speak to a lawyer. However, if you think that you're innocent and you have no part in whatever offense or crime was you were believed to commit, then by all means answer the question. I guess I feel like if I was in that situation, I'd be nervous and probably wouldn't want to answer anything simply because I don't want to say the wrong thing, because there's no such thing as off the record. Anything you say in the presence of the police of a police officer, they can later on use it to arrest or charge you with whatever you can be arrested or charged for. So 9 times out of 10, I'll probably just keep quiet and, you know, wait until I'm in a calmer setting, you know, once the adrenaline has been drained from your system, so to speak, to then answer the questions. Because I've been in situations where I was nervous, like, for example, during, I don't know, school presentations, you know, you're nervous, your heart's beating fast, you're sweating, you're hot and everything, and you just end up talking and saying things that you wasn't even supposed to do. I'm going to assume that it would be the same in this case. So, right, yeah. It's a scary situation to be in, to be completely honest. I've been privileged enough to never be in this situation, and I hope to never be in that situation. But yeah, guys, these are some of the things that you are recommended as a citizen to do. Please, please, please be careful and make sure, first of all, you're not out there committing crimes. But yeah, my inspiration for this is, like I said at the beginning of the episode, is during the very, very first episode that we've released at Pillow Talks was Black Girls, Black Culture. And one of the things that I personally kept going on about is we really need to educate ourselves. We need to know our rights. We need to know what we can and can't do. So when we are then put in these situations, we can also hit them with the facts. By them, I mean the law enforcers, officers, whatever the case is. So we're not just being thrown things or getting told you need to go left and then we go left when really and truly we could have gone right. But yeah, I thought I'd take the time to educate you guys, you know, a step towards the right direction. But yeah, that's all for today. This is a very, very short episode. A minisode, if you want to call it. Make sure you stay safe. Wrap it up and careful with Corona. We don't know if she's still out there lurking. Yet to find out. But yeah, guys, this is it for me. Bye.